yenu. Martha had heard Jesus was coming. Then she met him. She had a personal experience. She saw him. And she goes to Mary. And she didn't say, "I hear Jesus is coming." Because when Martha heard Jesus was coming, it never moved Mary. She stayed in the house. She was mourning still. With the mourners. But when Martha tells Mary, not Jesus is coming, the Master is come. Amen.
Amen.
She brings it in the present tense. The Master is come. And he's calling for you. Amen. Let's see her behavior. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the tongue, but was in that place where Martha met him. Between his coming and the resurrection of the sleeping one, the true believers is meeting with him in a certain place. Amen. Where they're getting a revelation. The Master is come. He is here. We know the purpose he has come for. We know what is fixing to happen. Amen. You don't go right straight to the sleeping one. He meets with the living ones first. Hallelujah. The Jews then who were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there."
Basi, wale Wayahudi waliokuwepo na Mariamu nyumbani walimfariji, walimuona, walipomuona jinsi alivyoondoka upesi na kutoka, walimfuata huku wakidhania ya kuwa anakwenda kaburini ili aliye huko.
You don't believe that, don't you? Her mourning was finished. She wasn't going to mourn. I don't believe that. Let's see what the word says. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell along at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She met him in the same place. She had the same experience. She behaved the same way. She said the same thing like her sister who had met him before. They had the same testimony in the same hour between his coming and the resurrection when they met him in that provided place. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled.
Basi Yesu alipomuona analia, na wale Wayahudi waliofuatana naye wanalia, aliugua rohoni, akafadhaika rohoni yake.
And said, "Where have you laid him?"
Akasema, "Umemweka wapi?"
They said unto him, "Lord, come and see."
Akamwambia, "Bwana, njoo uone."
Jesus wept.
Yesu akalia.
Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him."
Basi Wayahudi wakasema, "Angalieni jinsi alivyo."
And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou wouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. That's the voice of the archangel. That's the voice of the resurrection. The same voice that raised Lazarus is going to bring the sleeping saints out of the grave. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a cloth. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go.
Akatoka inje yule aliyekufa amefungwa sanda miguuni na kiunoni na uso wake umefungwa leso. Na Yesu akawaambia mfungulieni mkamwache aende zake.
Let us pray. Almighty God, breathe upon us now with the supernatural breath of the living God. Bring us all in the Spirit, Lord. We can hear by the Spirit. We can see in the Spirit. And let your word come forth quickened by the Spirit. Get glory to thyself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. So I want to take for a title, The Master is Come and Calling for Thee. It's a little drama. So let's just get right into the picture. Because Brother Branham, the prophet of God for this age, who fulfilled the scriptures, Malachi 4:5, Revelation 10:7, St. Luke 17:13, this day, these scriptures has been fulfilled. What was prophecy became history in this day. God sent a prophet with a prophetic message. He revealed things that was, things that is, and things that is to come. When he left the scene, 1965, part of the message became history. But there was part of the message that is still prophecy tonight. Do you believe that? Amen. And that part of the message that is prophecy must be fulfilled in the many-membered body bride. And from 1965, with the going of the prophet, to 1992. We are in 1992. 1965. The history. God sent a prophet named William Branham. That is history. Just like Moses is history. Just like Paul is history. Just like Irenaeus and Martin and Columba is history. Amen. The full word have been restored. Rapture in faith. He said it's laying in those messages. God has called a people by this message. And this message was sent for preparation. To prepare people. To bring us into a rapture in faith. The rapture in faith that was in the message was to move from the message into the hearts of the people. The ministers had to find the revelation and take that word and preach it to the people, because how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? Then that word that is preached, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. So as this message is being recycled, not another message. Amen. The same message. Hallelujah. The Spirit and the Bride saying what the Spirit said to the prophet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God raised up men who have to be faithfully taught, who have to know how necessary it is to say only what the prophet said.
Amen.
Amen. Then that same word having preeminences in a ministry who have become prisoners, like the prophet was a prisoner, bound in the chains of the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bringing forth the same word with the same motive, with the same objective, in the same spirit. More directors in the spirit of the composer, putting the symphony in the right swing as the great drama of redemption is being played out. There is to be a super race, a super church in the last days. So many people in this hour don't really know what they are looking for. Amen.
Amen.
But in this hour, we are looking to see a bride come back to perfection and write another book of Acts. Hallelujah. I will restore, said the Lord. This message have brought back the same word, the same life, the same signs, the same wonders, the same God, the same kind of people, the same kind of faith that has been restored in these last days. We saw the first one was the prophet. He was waved as one who had come to maturity, one who was formed in the image of the word, one who had the characteristics to identify Jesus Christ inside of his own life. Because that is the promise of the this hour, in that day, you shall know. Not maybe. You shall know. As I was in the Father, and the Father in me, so I in you, and you in me. How will we know it? It'll be revealed to you. The world will be opened up. I will be unveiled. You will see the same harmony that existed between the Father and the Son is to exist between the bridegroom and the bride. Hallelujah! And Brother Branham, knowing who he was, he said, I thank God I was not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Charles had a sperm. Ella had an egg. And they came together. And they put a body. 5 senses. A body of flesh. That ain't you. That is the house you live in. That is the earthly tabernacle. Charles and Ella could only produce a body. They couldn't produce a soul.
Amen.
The soul came from God. Amen. From Elohim. Amen. Hallelujah. In the mind of God. The thought of God was expressed in flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And inside of him was eternal life. You don't believe with your body? You don't believe with your spirit? You believe with your soul? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that soul was the thought of God. When God expressed it, it became an express thought. And a thought express is the word. And the word was in flesh. Amen.
Amen.
But in the Bible, the written word was a prophecy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Malachi 4:5. That was not fulfilled. That was not fulfilled for 6,000 years. It had to wait until this man came on the scene. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when the Holy Spirit anointed that man, it led him in the Bible, and he found a place where it is written, behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet. And he is one man. He is personal pronoun. Singular. Masculine. One man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he, one man, personal pronoun, singular, masculine, not she, not them. Amen. One man, he recognized his position in the world. He began to understand by divine revelation how your name is written in the book of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It didn't say William Branham from Kentucky, Indiana. It said, behold, I will send you Elijah.
Amen.
And he, by faith, by revelation, had to believe that that was his name, that that promise is to be interpreted in his own life. And something pulled him to the book of Kings. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, where he saw a woodsman. Amen. A prophet. In the time of Ahab and Jezebel. When there was in a union. Religion and politics. Church and state. God had sent a prophet. With thus said the Lord. Go tell Ahab. Hallelujah. He preached Jezebel religion. He identified. identify who Jezebel was. He identified who Ahab was. He identified who the false prophets was. And he identified who Elijah was. He understood that history was repeating itself again. He understood that there was a way to read the Bible. Not the way it's taught in the seminary, but by a mystery. How it's unfolding. And you get into the drama. And you begin to see the word for your age being acted out. You begin to understand you are part of the word. And when you begin to find out what part of the word you are, you can rely upon what God has made you. And that gives perfect faith. Because perfect faith is to understand your position in the word. So Brother Branham, a man from Kentucky, like every other Kentuckian, but on the inside, there was a representation. It was not his culture. It was not his social status. It was not his family background. It was Zoe. Eternal life. The seed of God. The word predestinated. For this age. Hallelujah. And there was a word written in the Bible. And then the word predestinated to the word written for the hour. Then the word himself took the word itself and began to reveal himself in itself. Here was the word on the outside of the Bible, looking back in the Bible and seeing a prophecy spoken for his hour, and identified himself with faith that he had the characteristic to identify he was the fulfillment of the promises prophesied for this age. Amen! And that gave him a faith. He said, when the angel came to me, he took the scriptures and he began to explain to me my peculiar birth, my misunderstood life. And he began to show me I was born for a purpose. And all what the big ministers was telling me was the devil. And I was afraid because I didn't even want to see no more visions. I had fear because there was great learned, respected men. But when I met that pillar of fire that Moses met, when I met that pillar of fire that Paul met, when that Logos began to speak, it was right with the word. And it began to take the fears out. It began to take the doubts out. He said, I had a faith then. I could have faced the whole world with a 7th grade education. Hallelujah! May it do the same for you. When you come in the presence of that pillar of fire who can take your misunderstood life, your peculiar birth, reveal to you your scriptural identity, begin to show you what age you're living in, begin to show you what is promised for your age, where you fit in the plan of God. Begin to reveal to you your place. That you know what he is requiring of you as a believer. You will find no security in a church, in a personality. You'll find security in the word. When the revelation anchors, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You don't care what come and what block goes. You stand like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth your fruit in due season. What fruit? The teaching for the season. Your leaves shall not wither. No locust going to eat your leaf. No canker worm going to come at your back. Amen. All these Roman bugs. Amen. They will not be able to touch that tree. That's a bright tree. Being restored. The female. Amen. Amen. The branch that came from the tree of life, which was in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a tremendous hour. And the Holy Spirit, from 1965 to 1992, from the going out of the prophet, many was confused. Oh my. I wish Brother Bram was still here. I wish he could come back. They have not yet understood. Jesus said, when he was there with them, he had to go and die. Peter didn't want him to go and die. Peter loved the flesh. He had a good flesh connection. John liked to lean on his bosom. Amen. But they had to be taken up in a higher realm of faith. Amen. And Jesus knew that hour had come. He had to be taken away. The physical part. The mask that God was enmorphing. It was God with us. But it had to come into God in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We see the picture of the pillar of fire. Over the prophet head. Let us see God. That was God above us. Then that in the first and second Paul. Then it went behind skin. And he preached super sign. God and man united. Emmanuel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The church brought forth a son. After so much birth pains.
Now
the world was made flesh again. Now the same ministry had come back. And he began to identify it. God with us. There's a man here that can turn on the light. Not the flesh man that was sitting on the platform. He's the chief engineer. The one who designed the church. The one who knows what it's going to take to put it in rapturing condition. He tells a little parable about this man walking this place. And he saw this mechanic. He was trying to fix a Rolls Royce. He might look at a Datsun or a Mazda or something. A Baptist or a Methodist or something. But there was never a machine like this. This is the bright age. This is a super race. And he was a little,
mechanical ideas that he learned in the seminary, in mechanic school. Every time he tried to fix it, I turned the key. He goes, put, 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 put. And then that man says, sir, would you take some advice? He looked at him. He began to get mind battles. Who is he? He doesn't even have on a mechanic suit. I don't see no spanners in his pocket. No pliers, nothing. But there was something in the voice. He said, yes, sir. He said, okay, put this here, put this here, put this here, put this here. He said, go and turn the key now. And he turned the key. Yeah, boom! It was the dynamics struck the mechanics. He says, so who are you? He said, I'm the man from General Motors. I designed it. And those denominations, dead, no power. And they saw a little prophet coming. They saw a little prophet coming. And he was trying to tell them, take some advice. You have the baptism wrong. It's not three, God is one. He was trying to get them to put it in the right place. Take those men's garments off of the ladies. Take the woman off the pulpit. They won't take the advice. Amen. They didn't know who it was, but it was the one who designed the church. When the church was existing in his mind, when it was chosen in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that was the one who had descended from heaven. The Lord himself has descended from heaven. The pillar of fire that was above us, veiled in skin, to reveal the person, not the gifts of the life, not the gifts of the life. In the first and second Paul, was the gifts of the life. They could impersonate that. But in the third Paul, was the life of the gifts. It was the person himself. Hallelujah! God and man was united. And he spoke and scribbles came into existence. And the storm go back where you come from. Storm. Go back where you come from. And the winds obeyed him. Hallelujah! It was more than a man. With God in flesh. Like when he came to Abraham. A man who could turn his back and discern the hearts of the people. Abraham called him Elohim. Hallelujah! He recognized him. He looked beyond the flesh. And he knew it was God in the sea. Filled in a man. Amen. Hallelujah. Then, after God in us, so after 1965, it was time to end morphine again. God above us. God with us. But you had to go in us now. But Abraham preached a message and said, let us see God. Show us the Father. It will satisfy us. That is the desire of every believer. We don't want more interpretations. We don't want more educated guesses. We don't want no more well worked out explanations. We want to see him in reality. We want true faith could make this word live. Hallelujah! To know greater is inside of you. Because in that day you will know I'm you. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And you shall know as you are known. And the way God knew you is a super race, a super church. He called us amateur gods. He talked about manifested sons. He didn't say somebody walked with a Bible and a spoken word book and sang the message. He said the word becoming flesh and the flesh becoming word. Amen. He said the house of God will live again. The tree of life will bloom again. The pyramid shall stand again. Hallelujah. That's what he spoke of. He was planting seed to see a real bride to bring forth after his kind. A race of people after his kind. Because he had his seeds of perfection. He planted in the former rain the seed of the entire Bible. All seven seals. Hallelujah! To bring forth a bride who will be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Faith of his faith. Virtue of his virtue. Knowledge of his knowledge. Life of his life. Works of his works. Amen. That is the promise. Amen. And he will show us the Father. We want to see Jesus. Everywhere he went, he knew what the desire in the hearts of the people was. They had heard about Jesus. But he said, sirs, we would see Jesus. We want to see him. But Christ had to be revealed in his own way. Christ was the mystery of God. That had to be revealed. He is those seals. He had a veil upon himself. And when he broke the seals, he took the veil off of himself. No wonder the prophet preached the might, the unveiling of God. And when God was unveiled, he turned around and preached the mighty God unveiled before us. Because he had been unveiled. Because he was hidden those seals. And because those seals had been broken. And all the traditions had to move back. Because here was one in union with the way. One who could make the way live. One who had, like the man who took up the violin and began to play the violin. They wanted to sell it very cheaply. You know, he told a story. He had this great auction sale. And they had this violin. It was full of dust in it. And, you know, they begin to bid for it. And somebody said, 50 cents. Somebody said, 10 shillings. All of a sudden, he's an old gray-haired man. Walk right up. Took the violin. He would take the dust off of it.
rushing up the pond. And he began to play. There's a fountain filled with blood. Oh, it was a classic. People begin to cry. There was weeping all over. They begin to see the real worth of the violin. It was a touch of the master's hand.
Amen.
From 1965 to 1992, about 27 years, and people have let so much dust come in the message. They don't see the worth of it no more. Everybody preaching the little denominational ideas mixed up with the word. They fail to realize that in this message there's a power to create squirrels. In this message there's a plan to bring a man back in oneness with God. But they fail to see what is laid in the message. Many only preach the historical part. Denomination false, God's not a prophet. That is not going to produce a bride and rapture church. Amen. It's time God raised up men to take the message and begin to play again and operate the word. Bring it in the present tense. Make it live. Become a reality. The way the prophet made it. That they could see Jesus. Not just hear about Jesus. Martha heard that Jesus was coming. But she hadn't seen him yet. Amen. But she laid there among the mourners. And she desired to see him. Lazarus was sick. And she tried to send a message quickly. They searched everywhere to get in contact with him. Finally, they came in contact with him. They knew where he was having meetings. So they sent a messenger. Go quickly. Tell the master, his friend, who he loveth, is at the point of death. They knew Jesus spoke the word many times. Like for the Roman centurion. He didn't have to go into his house. He could stay where he was and say, go thy way. You'll find your servant home. Like the Syrophoenician woman. Her daughter wasn't even in the meeting. But when she said the right word, he said, for this sake. Hallelujah!
Amen.
So Martha knew if the message is given to Jesus, the situation is finished. I could see that servant riding. At full speed. Jesus had preached all day. He was in the prayer line at that time. The sun was setting. And they heard his hoofbeats coming louder and louder. He was right there ministering to the sick. I could see him turn his head like that. And he began to see the rider coming with the message. He being the God of the prophets. I could see for a moment he kind of looks in the air like that. Like he's seen something before him. Maybe it was a vision. And he sees Lazarus is dead. And he sees himself going to raise Lazarus. So you know he mustn't interfere with that.
Basi anajua hataki kuingilia hiyo.
I do nothing except the Father first show me. That was, he was a prisoner. That was the kind of harmony. I can see Peter run out there. I said, what's the matter? He says, Lazarus is at the point of death. Martha and Mary says, tell the master come immediately. Peter said, relax. When he finished ministering to the sick, he'll talk to you. I can see Jesus finish the prayer line. He walks off the platform. The song leader just dismissed the people. And the messenger begins to explain. Lazarus had been very sick the past week. He saw a couple of doctors. We even had an all-night prayer meeting for him. But the fever is up to his head now. The doctor says beyond their control. He said the only hope you all have, if you could get to your friend Jesus. So it's a desperate situation. I could see Jesus turn to the messenger. It's all as well. God be with you. Go back and tell him it's all right. I can see Martha by the gate. Wringing her hands. Because Lazarus is hallucinating. The fever is in his head. He's talking all kinds of things. They are very concerned. And they see the messenger come speeding back. They say, what's the matter? Where's the master? The servant says, he says it's all right. You all used to be in the church very good. Where's your prophet when you need him now? Oh, they have to bear reproach. But you see, God works all things together for good. And the Bible says he abode 2 days still in the same place. And then it's going to take him 2 days to get to where he's going. Because by the time he came to Lazarus, he's 4 days dead already. When Lazarus died that evening, the coffee and the biscuit begin to come out of the wake. They begin to come out of the embalming fluids and these things. Oh, it was a dark hour. And Brother Branham took that seed in St. John 11 and tied it in the 1 Thessalonians 4. Because the same voice that raised Lazarus is going to bring the sleeping saints. And 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a voice, and a trump, a revelation of the rapture, a threefold mystery of his coming. And that seventh seal, which holds the mystery of his coming, a total secret. But the revelation of the rapture is only for the bride. And look at in St. John now. Matthew was the lion. Mark was the ox. Luke was the man. And John was the eagle. And John is the only one who records that story. of the coming of Jesus, coming to raise the sleeping saints, how he appears to the living ones first and comes into a union with them, how he meets them in a secret place and then he united with them, went down to the resurrection, and then he raised up the sleeping one, and the sleeping one was united with the living ones. And in the book of St. John, had the secret. And when the seven seals broke, that eagle prophet saw a little story that God put in the Bible for a purpose. And in that story, we can see the experiences of the living saints who heard his coming, who met with him, who comes under his headship, and he together with them goes to the resurrection to bring up the sleeping one. And 1963, a blast and seven angels appeared in the form of a pyramid. Is this the time? Could it be, my brethren, what it was? The announcement of the coming of the Lord. A prophet opening up seven seals. A message. A shout. Revealing that Jesus is here. The flashing red light of the sign of his coming. A greater than Solomon is here. There is a man here that can turn on the light. The unrecognized presence of God. Who do you say this is? Hallelujah! The super sign. He was revealing to them that this one was here. The Lord had come. Hallelujah! And Brother Branham, so that the bride could be posted, so that she can understand what her experiences will be. So we can look in the Word and see ourselves in the Bible and understand our experience from the coming until the sleeping saints come out of the grave. And now it's 1982. And from 1965 to 1982, he hasn't yet raised the sleeping saints. But we hear of his coming. So we know that right now, we are in that space of time. And if we are the believers who have part in the first resurrection, blessed and holy is he who have part in the first resurrection. If he's coming, the revelation of the rapture, the coming of Jesus, hallelujah! If that coming is to be a revelation only to the bride, then she must be able to look in her own life and identify in her experience that that prophecy is becoming history, that she can have the assurance, she can have the anchor, she can be established, rooted and grounded, she can be settled, because she is seeing that the word promise is being made personalized. A personal experience. A personal identification. In our own life. To know that
she will stand on the altar of the Bible. Look back in the Bible. She would see herself represented in the Bible. She would see the drama of God. This great mystery, how it is unfolding, how God is bringing to pass in this hour the word that he has spoken. Amen. So here was Jesus. They had taken Lazarus already. They had buried him. And here was Jesus now. The Holy Spirit says, time to go. Hallelujah! I could see Jesus. He's under the power and the inspiration of his vision. He has seen the vision. He already sees Lazarus out of the grave. He already sees that he must ask his sisters, where have they laid him? He's only acting out what he saw in the vision. Hallelujah! He knows the whole setting. So he's coming. He's walking, coming. The word for the hour. The headstone. The principal theme of the entire Bible. He's the fullness of the world. And he's walking, coming. Down that dusty road. But he's under the power of a vision. He already saw himself doing these things. Hallelujah! And he's now trying to communicate his vision to his disciples. The legend about Lazarus says he used to work in the temple. He was a scribe. He had a very good handwriting. He would copy the scriptures. And that hour had a great demand for scriptures. Because Jesus was bringing a scriptural message. Every time he preached, he would just search the scriptures. So people are digging up in the word now. They wanted to know about this prophet. So Lazarus was working overtime. He was trying to keep up with the demand for more scrolls. But when Jesus went in the temple and the priest handed him the book to read, he found where it is written and he identified himself in the word. Amen. So Lazarus had worked and worked until he worked himself sick. All his resistance had broken down. Had a lot of viruses in that time. Pick up a virus. Sent a fever to his head. And he died. But Jesus, here was the word coming. No matter what the situation is, the vision already revealed it. So he tells the disciples, I go to awake Lazarus. Lazarus is asleep. But Thomas said, he said, if he sleeps, he will do him good, Lord. Because when we stayed there the last time, for 3 nights he didn't even sleep. He's only writing scrolls after scrolls. So it'll do him good if he sleep. They wasn't understanding. Jesus was in the prophetic realm. And they was in the humanistic realm. Sometimes the pastor is preaching, you're not getting it. The word speaking in one way and they hear it in another way. So then he had to come down to their level.
Pastor,
Lazarus is dead. And I'm going to raise him. Hey! So here they was coming. The Bible says they had not yet come into the town yet. Because Jesus was waiting in a certain place. You couldn't meet him in a denomination in that hour. But there was a provided place where you could meet with him. And we find out in that hour, there was a message went forth that revealed he was coming and where you could meet with him. Because Martha knew exactly where to go to meet with him. About 1963, we heard he was coming. And we begin to find out there's a place where we can meet with him. God only provided place of worship. And Martha heard that message. And it struck her heart in that dark hour. She didn't want to hear no hunting stories and fishing stories. She wanted to recognize his presence. She wanted to know he's great as he ever was. That even though he didn't do it, he can do it now, today. And that hour, all the mourners was crying. I could see Mary in the corner. I had all these Pharisees and Sadducees around her. And it was all morning. I said, give me an old tissue. I should blow her nose. I should wipe her eyes. And she was crying. Oh, my brother. Oh, why did you have to die? And all the mourners around. If you all didn't follow this prophet. Amen. But Martha broke the song barrier. Hallelujah. She was an eagle. She burst through them vultures. And she headed for that place. Because in that voice that was saying Jesus is coming was revealing a place where you could meet with him in that hour. But somebody might tell Martha, they're going to laugh at you. You mean to say he can't meet you in no other place? You mean that's the only place? So what is wrong with these other places? She knows it's not time for argument. She wanted to see the word. She wanted to see the headstone. She wanted to see the Lord himself who has come on the scene. Hallelujah! She just wanted to be in his presence. And when she saw him, look at it, she gave him his right title. She came in the right attitude. And she gave him his respects. She didn't come arguing. She, after we fed you, we put you up in our house. We washed your clothes for you. We lead the denomination for you. And this is how you treat us. You're going to speak the word for the Roman centurion. That Roman Catholic. Well, you couldn't do it for us. And we believe your message. She didn't come like that. She threw herself on the ground. Oh, man! What is God saying? There'll be some people like that in this hour of his coming. They might have had the disappointments. They might have had the hard times.
might have had the hard times.
They might have had the troubles.
But when they hear the word,
when they begin to see the word before them, that is sufficient. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, even now, whatever you ask, I believe he will give it to you. Amen. And in that place, he says, thy brother shall rise again.
Oh, that voice that spoke the world into existence. That voice that had called her to a spiritual resurrection already. When she was dead in traditions in the Pharisees' denominations, that voice had already given a spiritual resurrection out of dark denominationalism. Amen. He said, I brother, say yes, Lord. And she quoted the scriptures. He taught them out the book of Daniel. But she only understood the resurrection as an event. But the resurrection is not just an event. The resurrection is a person. So she said, I know he will rise again at the last day. He said, no, that's not what I'm saying. I know what you're quoting. You're a believer. And you believe the Bible. But the kind of faith you have, you always put it in the future. But let me make it present. He says, Martha, I am the resurrection. If the dead have to raise today, all the dead that already raised in the Old Testament, all the dead we raise later on after the millennium, they still need to raise it. No dead can be raised without me. I am the resurrection. Now in that hour, Jesus, I want you to catch this. You want to bring it to a climax. What we are looking at is the spiritual experience of the living bride in the hour of the coming of the Lord. And we are looking to see what took place between Jesus' coming and the resurrection of the sleeping bride. And we are placing ourselves in the drama because we heard his coming. He has descended from heaven with a shout. He has revealed there's a provided place to meet with him in this hour. And he revealed to us there'll be a literal resurrection also. But notice when he was coming, he didn't go to the scribes and Pharisees. He came to those who was in a blood relation to the sleeping ones, who had the same kind of blood, who had the same kind of life, who came from the same loins. Hallelujah! It is to them he's meeting within a certain place. And now Martha wasn't just hearing Jesus coming. She had come into a personal experience. What she had heard, what was prophecy, was now being a personal experience. Was becoming history. And in that provided place, He was revealing himself to her as the resurrection. He was revealing to her the purpose he had come for. And she had to be united with the word first. Didn't the prophet say that? And the message uniting time and sign. He says you first unite with the word. Then you unite with one another who unite with the word. That has already gone clear beyond the realm of politics. No man can bring people together. God reveals himself. And faith connects with faith. Like connect with like. They are of like precious faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And she had an experience. And her faith was so anointed. Look at them sister churches. Message churches. People who was once in organization. But when Elijah came at the end of the Old Testament and revealed the Son of Man, the Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. The Lamb. With seven horns and seven eyes. John was Elijah. John was the prophet. Jesus was the word. He was the entire mystery of God. And John the prophet revealed the word. And that word pulled them out of the organizations. And now in that hour, they was having a special meeting in a specific place and receiving a specific experience. Not just shouting and having a good time. They was breaking into the realm to see he was here. Understand the purpose he had come for. Knowing that the resurrection was at hand. He was lifting the faith in a higher bracket. He said, when the power of this church rises, it will pull its brethren. And when the power of that church rises, it will pull its brethren until there be a general resurrection. And look at Martha. She was united with the word now. She was lifted to a higher realm of faith. Then she went for her sister church.
Hallelujah!
She said, I'm going to get married. Because now she understood. The master is here. He has come for a purpose. I have seen the Lord. I met him. I have seen the word of life. That which was from the beginning. I have handled him. Hallelujah! This is he! He revealed himself to me as the resurrection. She head down there. The Bible says she went privately. She went secretly.
I am so filled with grief.
But I can see Martha look her in the eye. Mary, something good has happened. Hallelujah! Dry your tears, Mary. She said, the master is come. She said, but Mary might say, but I heard he was coming. He said, no, it's more recent. It's more advanced.
I met him. I talked to him. He talked back to me. He revealed something to me. Our brother shall rise again. Anytime now. But before that could have taken place, we sister churches have to come into that spot. Be brought into that level of faith. Come into that kind of union. Come under the headship of the word. The Lord himself. The intelligence. The capstone. That has come with shoutings of grace. Hallelujah! He is here. The master is coming. Oh, I could see Mary's face becoming red. Her eyes begin to get bright. Stimulation and revelation begin to break upon her. Her mourning begin to turn into dancing. She began to take off her sackcloth and ashes. She began to put on the garments of praise. She began to sing a new song. It was the breaking of a new day. The light of the morning star was shining into her heart. Life and immortality was beginning to break upon her. She rose out of that house. But where am I going to meet him? Mother said, there's only one provided place. Amen. Amen. She revealed that place. Where he placed his name. Where his name is going to be manifested. Where he'll be in union with his believers. And she went in that place. And she sat under the voice. The voice of the resurrection. Given rapture in faith. Resurrection faith. To the living saints. Amen. Before he take them to raise the sleeping one. And I could see Mary. Oh, she dropped on her face. The same kind of word. Will give the same kind of believer. The same kind of faith. Under the same kind of conditions. It will always do it. And then when Jesus saw that the sister churches was in harmony, was in union, they understood the revelation of his coming. Why he had come. What was fixing to happen? He revealed to them the program for that hour. And they could have come now into the rhythm of the word. They could get in the spirit of the composer now. And then the Lord who descended is now united with the living ones. From 1965 to 1992, many have been meeting him in that only provided place and begin to receive a seven seal vision to understand the mystery of his coming. They begin to come into union with him. First they unite with the word. Then they unite with one another. Then they had to unite with the resurrected one. Hallelujah! We who are alive and remain together with them. Hallelujah! Amen. And when he descends from heaven, he does all three things. He comes with a shout, with a voice, and with a trump. At the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. But he appeared. And he began to call them together. They had to leave them mourners. At first they was with the mourners. On the mourner's bench. The mourner's bench.
The mourner's bench was full. Had no place. Amen. But he called them off the mourner's bench. They begin to love his appearing. Hallelujah! Do you love his appearing? Do you recognize his presence? Do you understand the master's come? He is calling for you this evening, amen. Calling you into a resurrection faith. Calling you into a union with him. Calling you to come under the hedge of the revealed word. Calling you away from all kind of mourners and negative things. To bring you to positive faith. To walk together with him. Walk under his leadership. Walk under his influence. Walk in the fulfillment of his prophesied word. Hallelujah! And here he was. He looked at them. And I could see the word himself. Speaking to the call out churches. In that hour. Between the coming. And the resurrection. When he's revealing himself, giving them resurrection faith, and the beat is fixing to be changed, because he sees the faith is anointed, and now he's moving to another gear. He says, "Where have you laid him?" Hallelujah! And he's walking with them. Oh, majesty, the word. The word in the midst of the call of believers. It's no different, friend. That's the program. If we see ourselves identified in the scriptures, if we see ourselves as part of the drama, if he has called us, if we understand the mystery of his coming, after he gathers them, then now he's walking down to the place where the dead is going to come forth incorruptible. They understand he is with them. They know he's right in the midst. He's keeping them under the influence. He's keeping them focused. Into the coming event that they're walking into. They're all in the same mind. They're all under the same headship. And the word himself, filled with resurrection power, is not going to come. He's already in the word. He's already amongst them. They just need faith to charge it. All the power is in the gunpowder. It just needs a spark. Amen! And here he's coming. And he brings them to this place. He brings them to this spot. Another part of the vision. One part of the vision has become history. And another part of the vision is yet prophecy. Is that right? Amen. But now they're still going to come to a testing time. He says, roll back the stone. And look at the churches in that hour. Maybe around August 1992. Just on the verge of the resurrection. They begin to drop back down in the humanistic realm. Yes, drop down. In the humanistic realm. They begin to come into the realm of perfect faith. They forget who was speaking to them. They begin to forget the experience. She said, Lord, by this time he stink it. But look at the word. He looked them in the eye. It is I not unto you. If you believe, you shall see the glory of God. Lifting them back up in the realm of faith. Re-anointing their faith. And bringing them back in line with the objective. Keeping them under the influence of division. May we stay under the influence of division. When that seventh seal broke, and the Lord began to descend from heaven with a shout, the rapture was on for him. But all these years have passed. But because people are walking and not understanding the program, how it's changing from one fold to the next. He says, if you are in the spirit of the composer, and you're looking at the music sheet, you can understand the junctions of the music. And you can say, just about here, such and such is supposed to happen. But if you don't understand it, it'll just be a bunch of rattling noise. Amen! But if you are following something, if you're following your experiences in the world, walking in the bloody footprints, coming from one stage to the next, he didn't say, well, praise God, you all girls having a good time. Let's go and have some hamburger. He didn't come for that. He came to raise the dead. Amen! And then he had brought them into his atmosphere. He communicated his vision to them. They didn't have a vision. He had the vision. But they received a revelation. But the revelation is just as good as the vision. Because it put them in the same faith that he had. And when they were slipping back out and coming on the human realm, he was quick to lift them back up so they could be in the right atmosphere for the things promised in that hour could be fulfilled. Amen. And what's something? Lazarus, body was in the grave. But Lazarus was in another dimension. And then they, the living ones, was in this dimension. And they couldn't see Lazarus beyond the curtain. Amen! But in that hour, that voice was going to contact Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't the body in the grave. Lazarus is the one who lived in that body. That's why he said Lazarus sleeping. Amen. He wasn't dead. He just used that terminology to help them. But the Bible said them that fall asleep in Christ will God bring with him. Hallelujah! And here he was in that hour. And the voice went out and contacted Lazarus in that other dimension. And Lazarus left that dimension, came back in these three dimensions, and picked up his body. Amen! Step back into his body and step out of the grave. And now the resurrected one and the living ones was being united. But what the vision began to unfold and never stopped unfolding from the moment it was announced, Jesus is coming. Amen. They had to come from the mourners. And from the mourners, from the mourner bench, then they came to the place. met Jesus. And then from the place where they received a revelation, then they came to a place where a manifestation took place. Every phase of the experience was bringing them to a higher level of faith all the time. Amen. And while he was speaking the word to them, he was anointing that faith, bringing them out of the five senses into the super. From the time he came on the scene, in that very hour, he began to reveal to them. It's the first thing the light did. The first thing that the light did. It separated Martha and Mary from the mourners. From all that unbelief. A total separation in that dark hour. When the light himself, the light of the world, was on the scene. Then it began to separate life from death. After it separated Martha and Mary from the bunch of mourners, then it separated Lazarus from the dead. And then it brought the ones who were separated from the mourners and the one who was separated from the dead into a union. So first they had to be united with the word. Then they was united with one another. Then they was united with the resurrected ones. Then they was all united with the eternal himself. It was becoming greater and greater. The Master is here. The Master is come. I'm calling for thee. Where? Not in a geographic location. Not in a physical place. He's bringing us into a realm of perfect faith. He's bringing us under his headship. He's bringing us into a union that is going to bring that literal resurrection. He does all three things. His ministry always ends with a resurrection. The Son of Man comes three times. When he comes to Abraham, he revealed himself, showed that sign, discerned Sarah's heart. Then he opened up the mysteries. He says, shall I hide these things from Abraham? What I'm about to do. He began to reveal them the program of God for that hour. Put them on the expectations for what was fixing to take place. Then he turned them back young. When he came to Abraham's natural seed, in the middle of the Bible, he had a healer revival. The young rabbi went out healing the sick. The signs to attract their attention. Then the voice, the message. I and my Father are one. I am the resurrection, the life. Greater than Solomon is here. Greater than Jonah is here. And then at the end, what did he do? He raised up the sleeping saints. And when he's come back to Abraham royal seat in the last days, 1 Thessalonians 4 says he's going to end up in the resurrection again. 1 Corinthians 51 and 52, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. To end up in the resurrection again. His ministry always ends with a resurrection. And in St. John, chapter 11, Jesus, Brother Branham revealed his great secret of the coming of Jesus in a little drama. I try to take it in a drama tonight in a way that you can see. There's a way we know the word, that we see ourselves in it, that we see our experiences being identified in the word, which shows that the word spoken for this hour is coming to pass in our very own. Let's stand to our feet. May God give you that resurrection faith. I trust his word tonight has anointed his faith. Anointed that faith in you. Because the just shall live by his faith. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Jesus revealed that faith to them. He showed that he himself, the same voice that was revealing those things to them, it was not another voice, but the same voice in another season that called Lazarus from the grave. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit upon the word in such simplicity, but with the reality, Lord, I pray that brought an encouragement to the hearts of your people, such a beautiful audience, such a fine spirit in the building to preach the word, Lord, such a liberty that we felt. I pray you bless them. Take these words, teach them further, Lord, and may become a personal experience. May there be a real cry in their heart, Lord, for this reality in this hour, because we see that the resurrection is at hand. 27 years have unfolded. Something is happening, Lord. Lord, we want to see it in the word. And we want to check our lives and see if our experience matches the word. If the two halves of the Chinese ticket come together, our experience, our life, and the written word, if it dovetails together, oh God, that's going to give real faith, Father. That is the kind of victory that will overcome this world. Bless your people. We commit them into your hands now. We give you all honor and glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I tell you, see us back to the past. God bless you. Kuwa pagi na kuhitika.
Number 220 in 20th edition.